I do this for my culture. Turn the lights down, I'm in my zone. Thank God for granting me this moment of clarity, this moment of honesty. The world will fill my trunk. Hard knock lifetime, a gift and a curse. I gave you volume after volume of my words, so you can feel my troops. I built the dynasty by being one of the realest niggas out. Way beyond the reason I can't feel my shoe. Blueprint beginning to that black album ending. Listen close, you hear what I'm about. Feel my true pop died, didn't cry, didn't know him that well. Between him doing and me doing sales, with that in the eggshell, standing at the tabernacle, rather the church, pretending to be hurt, wouldn't work. So a smirk was all on my face, like damn, that man's face is just like my face. So pop, I forgive you for all that I lived through. It wasn't all your fault, homie, you got caught into the same game I fought. That Uncle Ray lost my big brothers and so many others I saw. I'm just glad we got to see each other, talk and re-meet each other, save a place.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Viraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me for the second hour, folks. We've been talking about Jay-Z, how he has now is official, folks. He is a $1 billion hip-hop artist. That song right there, Moment of Clarity, I would highly recommend you check that song out. He made that song off of one of my favorite Jay-Z albums, The Black Album. Hands down, classic. Classic. But you can hear in his lyrics how he decided to make some different decisions. And back in, with that, I think that album dropped back in 2005, if I'm not mistaken. Was that 2005, Dre Day? Yeah, I think it was like 2005, 2004. I know it was after Blueprint. It was 2003, okay. It dropped back in 2003. And for me, it was a shift in who he wanted to become in 2003. Now, 16 years later, and my man Mike Nice from Hip Hop Chronicles, he made an absolutely valid point off air. He said it took Jay-Z 25 years to get to this point. He said these young guys, though, they might be getting to it much quicker, much faster. So it took him 25 years. So it wasn't a... For many of you think it was a success overnight story, it's far from that. He had money, but this is new money. this is that new money. But it took him 25 years. So let's get back. I want to get these final comments from Buddy and Calvin. Buddy, thank you for your patience. What's your take on it, sir? I look like we're having a little technical difficulties. Let's go to Calvin. Calvin, what's your take on it?
Yeah, Faraj, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations to Jay-Z for reaching the billionaire status. But I'd like to remind people, when you speak of somebody being a billionaire and a millionaire, that's not always cash money. That's
His
assets are worth, you know, overall $1 billion.
Right.
I'm looking at it from the perspective, from an African perspective, that says because I am, we are, and because we are, I am.
Yeah.
As much as we're celebrating his success, you know, and his process of growing, learning, and developing, I was thinking, as far as I know, Jay-Z grew up in Marcy Projects.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep, absolutely, in Brooklyn.
Now, I'm wondering, not only with him, but other, you know, celebrities, music, and movie producers and such, and even the guy who gave the money to the college grads. I would hopefully think that Jay-Z would take the issue of saying, okay, I have this status now, and I have a community that's, you know, in many ways in dire straits. If I take that perspective of saying, because I am, we are, because we are, I am, I'm wondering, is he making investments in the community that he came from? Say, for instance, he would buy Marcy Projects.
Mm.
Or buy, far as I know, the Apollo Theater is no longer owned by African Americans.
Mm.
These are people from New York. You have the Spike Lees. You have a lot of celebrities who live in New York. But historically speaking, a lot of the stuff that our predecessors had developed and promoted and, you know, gave us access to, we no longer own those things. So I'm celebrating Jay-Z for his financial success, but I'm wondering, you know, will that filter back to the community? Because people forget, a lot of his success came out of the pockets of his fans.
Yep.
And if you have schools that are closing and people who are, you know, losing jobs because the economy's shifting, his individual success is nothing compared to if he was to invest back in that community.
Yeah.
And build,
no, I agree with
like,
you.
Like a Jay-Z music institute.
Yeah, I would agree
or,
with that.
You know, independent places that can't be controlled from the outside, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I would hope that he would advance through that mindset. And as far as him being a Mason, the brother mentioned, even that is from Africa. That's not a white man's development or tradition. Everything that came from us.
Yeah.
So okay, if he's a Mason in the African tradition,
yeah,
hallelujah. But if he's a Mason serving the needs of like the Illuminati and all these other organizations, then I have a problem with that, because a lot of these groups are taking the wealth and the genius of people from the black community. They develop them. They develop them and reward them and, you know, give them riches that, you know, they have earned, I have to admit. But a lot of times it's a brain drain where we're left holding the bag and we don't have a community that's like having a black Wall Street like we used to have. We don't have a lot of independent schools that can't be controlled by other people. So I would hope that not only Jay-Z, but the other artists who are notable people, and they would take that and say, okay, I'm going to take all these assets and bring them back to my community and put them on par with the best in the world. And thank you for listening to me.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you so much, Calvin. You bring up some valid points, and I think that that is, I think that's an expectation that many folks have. It's like, you know, when we saw the billionaire Mr. Robert Smith, Robert F. Smith, who was able to relieve those graduates from Morehouse, you know, the question becomes, you know, are we expecting to see more of that from our black elite? Are we expecting to see that model? Because that's impact. And I'm not saying that anything else that he haven't done is not impact, but I'm talking about that's impact. You know what I mean? So I think that it is, now that we are in this age, I think it requires us to have a different and much broader conversation about economic empowerment and what that looks like for black people, and what is the role of our black entertainers or black business persons or our black intelligentsia, or, you know, those who have resources, financial resources and other resources that are able to pool those resources together to look at, okay, I'm in this position. And as you mentioned, Calvin, you say I am, you know, I am we and we are I, and that whole mentality. And then it comes to my mind when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought up the part that no one man or woman can rise above the condition of his or her people. So, you know, that type of thinking, and this is very interesting, folks, because, and more importantly, when we talk about, when we really talk about black people in powerful positions, right, unlike any other people, there is an expectation there that those black folks that are in those powerful positions, that are having those access to resources and opportunities, there is an expectation that they should do something more, right? We can't get past this. We can't act as if, you know, that you're not part of some larger chain, that you don't play some role, especially because our history and our sojourn in this country has been so complex and so challenging, even up to this present moment. we have to have black folks who are in those positions to be conscious enough to understand that they play a role. And it's not always a financial responsibility. It's not always financial. It's about creating pathways, creating opportunities, not just breaking the glass ceiling. You might need to build your own box, need to build your own jar. It's something more than that. So as I look at what Jay is doing across this country, and, you know, I mean, he comes from an entertainment mindset, and I think it's important that we understand where he's coming from. You know what I'm saying? Whereas everybody doesn't come from that world. I never forget he has a lyric in his song that he had to do what he had to do from his world before, you know, as a hip-hop artist and kind of mastering that world. And then as he gets into the business world, he has to learn kind of the steps on how to become a master of that new realm. And so that's the case. But I don't think it's a problem for us to have a conversation to talk about the impact of this situation, like his being at this new place. We should have conversations about it. This is 2019. We are in some cases, and let me just say this, folks, in some cases, we are in some uncharted territory when it comes to the history or the future of black people in this country and in this world. We're in uncharted territory, uncharted. Would you have ever guessed that we would have as many black billionaires that we do? Would you have ever figured that we would be in the places that we are in? If we asked our grandparents and our great-grandparents and those who have been able to see the struggle of black people in this country, if they would have seen the day where we not just have black mayors and black legislators and you know, black entertainers amassing all of this wealth, but then we also had a black president who was serving for full eight years, we are in uncharted territory. So the only guide that we have in this moment is either history or prophecy. The only guide that we have are those voices that have emerged and have been consistent and been on the scene to give us some context as to what we're looking at and how we should be looking and how do we interpret what we're seeing. Uncharted territory. 410-319-8888. I want to get your thoughts on before we have our other special guest that's going to be checking in a few moments. 410-319-8888. We're talking about Jay-Z. I feel like we're talking about Jay-Z as he becomes this new billionaire. But then now we're talking about what does this mean for the culture? You know, is this a curse for the culture? Is this good for hip hop? Is this is there something else that we need to, you know, I feel like this conversation is complex. One of our callers mentioned it. He said this is a complex conversation. And I agree with you. I agree with you. My man Frank Johnson checked in and said, look, we need to appreciate the growth of us. And I agree with him. We're in new territory. This is complex. We are growing. Our history and our sojourn and where we are in this country is different, is much different than I think anybody would have expected. Let's go back to the phone lines. 410-319-8888. I'm really enjoying this, folks. Hopefully you are as well. Angel, talk to me. What's your take on this, Angel?
Hey, Farazi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I love this topic. My thoughts are, I don't want a handout. I can pay off my student loans. That would be really great. But my thoughts are, I don't want a handout. Pay off my student loans. That would be great.
Angel, you still with us? Looks like we have. Hey, Angel, do me a favor. Make sure you give us a call right back because we're getting some feedback on our end. Make sure you give us a call, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Lavette. Lavette, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
My take is that Jay-Z was a man with a plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't get to that point without no plan, Lavette.
he had a plan, and he took it each step of the way.
Yeah.
And he had a mother that told him, like my father told me, you can do anything you want to do, but you got to work for it.
And you got to, and the first thing you said, Levette, and I want us to be very, very intentional about what you just shared. Having a daggone plan, Levette.
Having
a plan. Because you know what? We tell children, and I even have to catch myself when I tell my son, like, you know, well, son, you could be anything, without saying, son, you could be anything, you could work hard for it, unless you have a plan. You have to have a game plan on how you're going to get there. And that's, if you read all of these, like, self-help books and everything, when they talk about amassing wealth and everything, the first thing they always talk about, outside of having a desire, is having a plan. And that's the part I think is missing from a lot of the conversation, Levette. We don't have a plan. We all want to be millionaires. We all want to have money, right?
Right.
But how many of us actually have a plan to get to that place?
Well, let me tell you, when you grow up and you decide what you want to do.
Yes, ma'am.
You say, I want to go to college. You got a plan. And you work towards that plan. You get good grades.
Absolutely.
The family gets together with you.
Yep.
Everybody helps you out. They get the money together, and you go to college. When you finish, you say, well, I want to do this, I want to do that.
Right.
You make a plan. It's no different. It doesn't matter where you come from. We are just not teaching our children to have a plan.
There it is. I love it. I absolutely love it. Levette, thank you so much for checking in, dropping that jewel right there on us. All right, Angel, what's your take on this? Thank you for checking back in.
Hey, Friday. Sorry about that earlier.
No problem.
But again, I don't necessarily want a handout. I don't feel like they owe us anything. They earn their money, and that's what living in America is about, is capitalism. So you earn it. What I do feel that they owe the community, especially because it's the community that cultivated them and built them and helped them grow to where they are. They owe us the knowledge. They owe us the resources.
Yeah.
That's what I feel would be more beneficial to people than just paying off this debt. Because if they don't learn how to not accumulate debt, okay,
right.
You paid off this debt, all they're going to do is go back and reaccumulate other debt because they can now.
Yeah.
And they don't understand how to break that cycle. And that is what I feel that is what they should be doing. So what the guy was saying about investing, reinvesting in the community that built them, because, I mean, they are literally built off of our pockets.
Yeah.
We're the ones that were buying the albums that paid their checks. You know, so when you talk about rappers and musicians and stuff, and they go out and they don't want to take pictures and all this stuff, it was something that always baffled me because it's like, you know, these are your fans and they're excited to see you, and you may not feel like it, but this is, I don't want to say it's kind of what you signed up for, because there are moments that you should be allowed to have your privacy to an extent.
Yeah.
But there's a song by, what is that song? It's an old school song. I cannot call the artist. Is it Chuck? It's not Chuck Brown. I can't think of it, but in his lyrics he says, you know, don't be, he talks about basically the artist not, you know, not being respectful of the fan, and the fact that they love you and they're the ones who are supporting you and purchase you, and you wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah.
So just being mindful when they're asking for autographs and stuff, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to take a
second. It doesn't cost you anything.
Autograph.
But you know what? It's a very thin line.
It is a very thin line.
You know what I mean? You just
that is what the bodyguards are there for. And I've seen some craziness.
I've seen it.
But I've also seen some really ignorant artists.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Like just really full.
Well,
it's like, yeah.
You're right.
You're probably gonna be around for about 2 years and we'll be on to the next.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
absolutely.
Remember, be humble.
That's right. That's right. Angel, I appreciate you. Max, you got the final word on this. What's your take on Jay-Z? And we talk about the impact of his rise on the culture and hip hop.
Yeah, I believe what Jay-Z has accomplished is a beautiful thing. It's inspiring. I want to be the next billionaire. But on a serious note, I do feel that, you know, brothers have a responsibility to do something righteous when you get to that level. Not that you owe anybody, because you work for what you accomplished. And if somebody bought your CD, they bought it because they wanted it. So that's a fair exchange.
Yeah, gotcha.
But look at the brother LeBron James.
Yeah.
Look what he's doing. So I would just like to see more brothers band together.
Yeah.
And make those types of moves in our community. And I think that would be a good look.
Absolutely. Max, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. Christopher checked in and said, Jay-Z doesn't owe anyone anything. For people to think he should be obliged to help is selfish. Really? Wow. It's selfish? Well, I mean, you know, again, you are part of a larger chain. You are a part of a larger chain. You are in uncharted territory. Look, folks, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to a brother. I would really like to hear what this brother has to say about this. He's a man. I mean, he has been around a lot of different people. He has access to many different resources. He has done a ton of events here in Baltimore City and all across the country. I want to get his take, just to pick his brain on this. We're going to be checking in with Mr. LaRon Finney as we talk about the 20th anniversary edition of Jazzy Summer Nights in partnership with WEAA, which you can expect as we will have this concert series running from June through September all the way down in Port Covington. We're going to bring some blackness down to Port Covington. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz aboard WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us, folks. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to be talking about the 20th anniversary edition of Jazzy Summer Nights in partnership with WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm very excited as we are going to be talking to a recognized leader in marketing, branding, strategy, and many different spaces. He has been the brainchild behind such things as the African American Heritage Festival here in the city of Baltimore, to some of the biggest events that have been happening in the East Coast and all across the country. And he's from right here in Baltimore. Mr. LaRon Finney of the Finn Group is checking in with us, joining us live in studio. Brother LaRon, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Nice to be here.
It's always good to talk to you.
Always in person. That's right.
No, because real talk, like many people don't know, like LaRon is, when I say he's one of those hands-on type of brothers, he's really hands-on. Like every day he's always got something going. And, you know, he's not sitting from an ivory tower and telling people what to do. He's right there. From the start to the finish of an event. From the opening to the end of the party.
That's right. That's right. No egos, man.
No egos. No egos. You've been doing this work for a long time, though.
Yeah, 20 years. Actually, Jazzy Summer Nights was my first event coming out of Larry Storch, which was a small bar that we owned on Calvert Street. We started this little music thing in an alley, met with Downtown Partnership, and they wanted to bring some diverse programming downtown. And we came up with Jazzy Summer Nights, and 20 years later, we're still here, man, and very, very proud to have this product in our city.
Now, as over your 20-year time span in doing this particular event, I mean, you've organized many different, you know, types of major events, from AFRAM to, the events in the park. I mean, it's just a lot. You know, we've been talking about this whole situation with Jay-Z. I'm going to just pick your brain real quick.
Okay.
Because you've been a man that's been around a lot of different people.
Have a lot of respect for Jay-Z.
You walked around. You've worked with many folks.
Yep.
Talk to us about, I mean, since you work in the cultural entertainment industry, how big is this moment in terms of a man like him getting to this new threshold of being a billionaire? And then what do you foresee as being the impact?
Well, the one thing I say about Jay-Z and Beyonce, because I will not mention them separately, because he has become conscious since he's been with that queen. But they wake up asking how they can be of service. And a lot of entertainers and athletes don't do that. So a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, when you know that you can do things, you don't need to get publicity for it, whether it's getting folks from prison, paying mortgages, paying college tuition, he does a tremendous amount of things that we will have no idea. So as he begins to make more money, he's able to help more people. He has more fun, which is really his motto, make money, have fun, and help people. And he does a lot of stuff. And you look at the things that LeBron has been publicized for doing, Jay-Z's done that 20 times over, man.
So how do we look at the taking that story? Because I think that was some of the concerns that some of our callers had, that you look at the story. He was a former drug dealer, and now he's gotten into all of these new places, new realms. How do we make sure that young black men in particular, they can get the best part of that story without feeling like they have to start in the street, quote unquote?
Well, I don't think there is a bad part of the story. That's just his journey. And what it shows is that no matter where you start your journey, you're able to dictate and change the narrative. And that's the one power that we have from the Almighty, is that we can change the narrative to make our story what our purpose is. And his purpose, he's made music, he's made a ton of money, but more importantly, he's serving each and every day. And how can he make an impact on specifically black folks, and I take my hat off to him.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, speaking of making an impact, Brother LeBron, you've been doing this 20 years, Jazzy Summer Nights. What makes this year's, this anniversary edition so special?
Well, anything in Baltimore 20 years, you got to say congratulations. I'm going to tap my own back for that. So we've been fortunate, man, to bring this thing, which is all about the music, the vibe, and the people.
Yeah.
We always love showcasing talent that may not otherwise be seen. I selfishly book the artists that I like to listen to, so I'm a go-go hit. So it's always going to be, when Chuck Brown was there because I love Chuck Brown, mm-hmm. and Fertile Ground and Kim Waters and Mesa, and then the artists that we have this year. It's always good music, and to be able to put forth that product in our city, always in a safe environment. We've never had one issue in the 19 years that we've done it. Because I think the people really respect what we're doing, and they really are the gatekeepers of making it safe.
Now, this year it's on a new night.
It's on a new night because the first thing we want to do is, one, celebrate the 20 years, and we wanted to do it in a big way. And the location was very important for me to bring it back this year. And we've been able to partner with Port Covington and South Point, who are looking for the real Baltimore, and they're looking for a representation of the best of Baltimore. And we were able to go down and you know, sit and talk a deal and why this was important to be one of the larger events at South Point. They completely agreed. They're completely on board as partners, and we're excited. It's on the water. It's the best sunset in the city. And we're bringing Coachella to Baltimore, man.
Coachella to Baltimore. Y'all hear that? Come on, man. Come on. Now, LeRoy, you got to, brother. You know, we got Jazzy Summer Nights, but, you know, we got to bring some hip-hop up in this piece.
Well, it's called Jazzy Summer Nights. Yeah. But if you look at the lineup, you know, we're going to start with Bilal, but I got Biz Markie in there. Then we go to Spur of the Moment, but we mix it up with Teddy Douglas from the Basement Boys, the Belladonna Band, which is the all-female go-go band out of D.C., which is phenomenal. We mixed them with DJ Biscuit, and then we ended with Raheem Devon and DJ Tons. And we're going to sprinkle in some local flavors throughout the summer. So it's always going to be a mixture of music. It has never just been about jazz, but it's always a jazzy night. So that's just positive vibes and people and music, man.
Now, for those who might be new to this whole phenomenon, this whole culture, like how should you prepare for a jazzy summer night? What should you wear? What do you wear?
I'm always in shorts and boots, man, because I'm working.
You
man.
Working?
I'm working, man, because, you know, my job is to make sure, one, we have a publicly safe event.
Yeah.
Two, that is done at a high level. And like I said, the motto in our company is no egos. We just get it done. It ultimately stops with me, but we have a great team of people who are going to make sure you come down, you're safe, you're well taken care of. So it's a mixture of sand and grass and a pavilion. So bring your blankets, bring your lawn chairs, bring money to buy great food. We have Urban Oyster, Sharif's, Nick's Fish House, Island Cuisine. It's just going to be an unbelievable time down there.
You got Baltimore.
We have Baltimore.
We have the best of Baltimore,
man, because you're talking about the young sister Jazz from Urban Oyster. Phenomenal talent. Just opened up her brick and mortar on McHenry Row. Everyone knows about Sharif's Island Cuisine, one of the top black-owned businesses in our city. Nick's Fish House is there. And then we have Homemade. Don't want to forget them, the young brothers who have their business on Key Highway. Mm-hmm. We're going to shine the light on the best and bright best of Baltimore, and then we have the opening DJ Kibi, young sister who deserves to be on this stage, so we're going to give her a shot.
That's fantastic. Folks, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking to Mr. LeVron Finney. As we're talking about the 20th anniversary edition of Jazzy Summer Nights that's going to be happening at South Point in Port Covington, right along the water in South Baltimore. Reverend LeVron said it. The best sunset in the city.
Hands down.
It's going to be on a new night. It's going to be taking place on Wednesday night. And, of course, yours truly of WEAA will be in partnership with this fantastic opportunity to have great music, to have great food. And, of course, you want to just come out there and enjoy the summertime, because this is going to be running from all the way from June through September.
And one of the great things about this location, man, is plenty of free parking. We have over 2,000 parking spaces, man.
Whoa.
So you come down. Typically, we were in the heart of the city. Some folks complained about the parking. We got the best security. We got the best food vendors. We're going to have the best music, the best vibe, the best sunset. We just need the people of Baltimore to come and have a good time.
I don't think it's going to be hard to sell this.
No, it's not. It's not. But
I think you actually have to turn some folks away.
But the beauty about this space, we can expand it to however we need, you know, how big we need to be, man.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the concept. Coachella is one of the events that we partner with. It's going to really mirror some of the best of Coachella as far as how it's laid out, how it spreads out into the sand, the grass. You got some of the music under the pavilion.
Yeah.
And then, you know, talking to Bilal, he's coming, man. He loves coming to Baltimore, and we're excited to have him perform.
Would you say, Reverend LeVron, that there is a renaissance that's happening right now in terms of cultural renaissance? Because I'm hearing a lot more conversation about, you know, there needs to be a greater emphasis on culture and arts and entertainment in the city of Baltimore. What's your take on that right now?
It absolutely needs to be, because, you know, we spend the resources. The city spends almost $2.5 billion on something, whatever that is. This is what attracts people to cities. I spend time between here and Atlanta. And the one thing about Atlanta, there's something going on every night of the week. And that's why it's a destination where a lot of people are migrating to that city. Not only the opportunities, and I think Baltimore has the same potential because there's so many talented people. But you have to expand what the venues are, what the opportunities are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the optics of us sitting in a $5 billion project on the waterfront demonstrates the beauty of partnerships and that we're stronger together in the city.
You have previously worked on other major projects. You brought the you were one of the major organizers for the TBT basketball tournament.
I started my company in 2000 with Kweisi and Fulme with the NAACP National Convention that came here to Baltimore. I've done NBA All-Star, Black Engineer, Black CEO Summit. We do work for Kaiser. So we've had our hands across the country, but it's always intentionally about how can we not only represent our community, but how can we provide opportunities. So when you look at the vendors at Jazzy, all black owned companies. My sound company, black owned. My staffing company, black owned. But the best of the best. We don't sacrifice quality. But again, if I'm at the table, it's my responsibility to make that table longer, not to put up fences. And that's our commitment each and every day. And you, it's going to be demonstrated when you come and see the event on Wednesday.
Hey, folks, and let me just tell you, WEAA is the exclusive radio sponsor of Jazzy Summer Nights. We're very, very proud and excited about the partnership.
From year one. You guys have been with me from year one.
From year one. You can't say we ain't been in them streets.
Maxie Jackson. Maxie Jackson was my guy.
Yes, from year one. Now, are there going to be any VIP sections available?
Sold out.
We haven't even had the event yet, brother.
Sold out.
Are you all summer long?
Sold out. Yeah, we keep those very exclusive. So when the numbers are numbered, again, we do not gouge. We want to make it a very well laid out event.
Yeah.
And they went on sale and they went off sale.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
Right. But when you come down, everybody's going to be a VIP because of. Place is just so phenomenal, man, that you can get your own cutout. We're going to have a cigar lounge sponsored and run by Three Stogies and Sagamore Spirit. Again, understanding the value of our community has come on board to be a partner. So cigar lounge right on the water, that's your VIP area.
Right.
Saying we're creating a whole atmosphere where Island Cuisine is going to be with their layout in the bar, and that's a VIP area.
Yeah.
Everywhere is a VIP.
You have a signature when you do your events, Reverend LeBron, which is responsibility given back to the community.
Absolutely.
Is there going to be an element of Jazzy that's going to continue that tradition for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's two causes. We were able to get Wednesday night down at South Point because Volo Sports typically does their big sporting night on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And we kindly asked them if they would not do it on the first Wednesday of the month. And we're going to support their youth program. We're also part of Vehicles for Change, which is the reentry initiative, where we've had 140 men and women come through that program, 100% placement and training with automotive. So we're going to do outreach to them. And then Brother Dawee Sell, who just started the Grow Initiative, we're going to help him raise money to get that effort off the ground and his human services company. So it's always about young folks and our community and creating and changing the narrative of who we really are and showing what the best of our community really is.
I'm so happy that you brought that up because we are in Baltimore.
Right.
And you understand the dynamics. We understand and all of that, especially now. And I mean, given the fact that, you know, there's a real sentiment that people feel like that, you know, we're plagued with violence and that this is going to be another, quote unquote, violent, bloody summer.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear about an opportunity where folks can hear some great music, but more importantly, be able to give back in some way, shape or form because of simply coming out.
Man, we leadership has to think forward, man. We got to be innovative, progressive and bold and not afraid, man. At the end of the day, you can't be afraid. And I think every mayor, especially black mayors, should go and take a course on Maynard Jackson, how to walk like a gangster, man, in your city and run it and empower black folks, have black folks make money, have black folks make opportunity, bring the other communities to the table, but don't apologize for being great. And I think at sometimes we don't realize how cold our ice is. And the reason we're in Port Covington is that we're bringing value. So if you bring value to the table, you don't have to apologize or ask for a seat.
Mm.
You're coming with an asset, you leverage, and then everybody builds and grows off that opportunity. Then when you're at the table, as a black business person, you have to make that table longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the challenge sometimes comes in our city is that we've all had peaks and valleys, but if you're at that table, how are you going to intentionally manifest what's righteous about our city and not apologize and be inclusive, because when you're inclusive, it's the best of the best. But I'm going to take the best of the best in my community first, and then we're going to show folks how to do it.
410-319-8888. We're talking to LeBron Finney as we talk about the 20th anniversary of Jazzy Summer Nights that's in partnership with WEAA. Folks, we are very excited. If you have some questions, some comments, if you want to share your memories about Jazzy Summer Nights and coming out over the past 20 years and why this is an event that you plan to support, plan to participate in, make sure you give us a call right now at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. 8888. I'm blown away, Brother LaRon, in terms of the quality of the acts, and I know that this is just a door. I mean, 20 years, most people have a sentiment like, okay, I put 20 years in, this is going to be the last hurrah. Is that the feeling that you guys have at the Fin Group?
Well, I was actually there 5 years ago, and this is the most excited I've been about an event in Baltimore in a long time, man.
Wait a minute, hold up. You've done a lot of events, though.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why. A couple of things.
Ahead.
One,
go ahead.
Because of this great partnership and opportunity of being in South Point and Port Covington and what doors that partnership is going to open for our community and the willingness of the folks at the table from Mark Weller, who runs Weller Development, who's leading development, to Chip Watkins, to Vincent Martinez. They're intentional about creating strategic partnerships that make sense. And I know the value that we're bringing to the table. And when you look at a $5 billion project and you in on the front end and you're part of creating the narrative of why it should be a destination, because they're dealing with the same problems. How can I attract businesses to come to Port Covington? How can I attract people to come live in Port Covington? How can I attract people to hang in Port Covington? Well, wow, if I see 3,000-4,000 people on a Wednesday night, that says something. And I'm getting people from D.C. all the way up to Philly, that says something. So now our ideas will be valued, and that's going to present opportunities not only from folks on our team, but people in catering and marketing and business, whatever your idea is, manifest that and figure out it's a $5 billion project. It's a new city within a city.
Mm.
And how can you be a part of that? And for us to be there and to celebrate our 20th anniversary, I'm jacked. And I'm telling you, I haven't been excited in a long time really about bringing something to our city that I know is going to have impact like this.
How do you respond to those who say that they're seeing all of these changes and that there's some folks who are concerned that, you know, black life, black culture is going to be diminished, that the authenticity due to the changes, gentrification, that big G word that people don't want to, are afraid to kind of speak into? How do we maintain that level of authenticity?
It's leadership in the city, and it's a thankless job, but whomever decides to lead this city has to be bold, has to be progressive, has to walk with a swagger and demand certain things. But at the same time, when you're demanding those certain things, you got to have a vision. And that's why I said everyone should take a course on Maynard Jackson and what he did in Atlanta, specifically around how Atlanta really started with the airport. And this is that opportunity where in Atlanta, he said that if 51% of the business is not going to black folks, you're not getting water to build the airport. It was that simple. So we have a $5 billion project in Port Covington. What is the demand? I'm not talking about housing, which is important. I'm talking about wealth creation. What is your plan to create wealth for the majority of folks in this city? How do you do that? How do we work together? And how do you bring different voices to the table, not the same old jokers?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the real opportunity that I see. And if we are at the table intentionally, then no one can rob us our culture. That's why I have so much respect for Jay-Z and tremendous amount of respect for Beyonce, because you look at what she did and walking into Coachella last year. She changed the game. Now, everyone is trying to duplicate what she did at that festival, which is a phenomenon in itself, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're at the table, how do we make, you know, make a difference and make a difference in a very profound way that, because they can never duplicate it. So if they can't duplicate you, they got to bring you to the table to help you build it, right?
That is. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Tommy. Tommy, thank you so much for checking in. You're on the line with Mr. LaRon Finney. What's your take, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on, Faraji?
Hey.
Long-time listener, First time calling in.
Thank you, brother. Welcome.
All right, so you got my man on, Ed. So what's up, Finn? This is Tommy Jr. So
how you doing, man?
Good. So I just gotta you know, just tell Baltimore, man, you listening to somebody who one of the people that I admire. I've seen all my life, actually. Finn gave me an opportunity to perform at some of the festivals. I'm a musician as well, but my focus has changed in business as well. Always admired Finn for his ideas, his strategies, his marketing. I just think these are the vibes that Baltimore actually need to hear and mm-hmm. see and feel. Because the artists that he brings, they got the neo soul, they got the hip hop, they got a lot of the jazz. The vibes are definitely there. So this is just not jib jabber on the air. These are the vibes that Baltimore needed. We shouldn't have to go to South Street. We shouldn't have to go to Atlanta. We shouldn't have to go all through Philly, the five spots and all that in Philly. We definitely need these vibes in Baltimore. So that's all I wanted to add.
Well, appreciate you for saying the kind words, man. Thank you.
Hey, Tommy, thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to Kalik. Kalik, what's your take, sir? You're on the line with Mr. LaRon Finney.
Thanks, brother. This is a very, very cogent subject. I see the same thing happening over the years, is that Baltimore has highly intelligent black people. We have a highly intelligent black culture.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not supported. It's being benignly and blatantly neglected and subverted. Okay. And have money. Like Beyonce and Jay-Z and all of them, Bill Cosby, all of them, I think that many times their money is misdirected and is put into projects that are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the main project is to develop. We're talking about children are our future. Where do children come from? Black communities. Mm-hmm. Then let's really take a look at black communities and say, okay, the ones who have money. How can we truly support our future, our mm-hmm. children?
Yeah.
How can we truly develop that intellect, that genius that lies resident and that's being picked off by and subverted by other things in the society, so that we always are talking the negative dynamics instead of the positive,
mm-hmm.
you know, being mm-hmm. Showing through.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted
hey,
to
say. Hey, Kalik, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for checking in. Brother LaRon, let's give out the final details about, you know, what people can expect for this coming Wednesday night.
Well, we're going to start the 20th anniversary. We have a lot of dignitaries coming who have been supportive over the 20 years. But it's really just going to be about the music and the people, man. Bilal. Is excited. Biz Markie is coming up to close out the set. I have DJ Kibi, a young sister from Baltimore, who's going to open and really show a very eclectic mix of music as she puts that set together. And then we got great food in a great area, plenty of parking. So just dress comfortably.
And what time would everything kick off?
6 o'clock.
Six
so
o'clock.
We go from 6 to 10, and you can go to thefinngroup.net. For more information, thefinngroup.net. But we want Baltimore to come out because D.C. and Philly and Delaware, they're coming. So we need Baltimore to be in the house to represent.
And for the little small babies, what would you recommend? Is this date night stuff or is this like bring the whole family out type stuff?
That's a good question. That's a great question. I don't really have a good answer for that. But it's really 21 and over.
Okay.
But if a mother... or single mother, single father wants to come see Bilal and bring a blanket and wants to experience and expose their kids,
yeah.
Those kids are on me because they will not have to pay that entry fee.
Come on.
But I can tell you between Jazzy and Larry Storch, a lot of folks have gotten married in Baltimore behind some of the stuff that we've done. So I'm a lot of folks' godfather that they don't even know yet.
LaRon Finney, who is a branding, marketing strategist, legend in the game. as he has been bringing us major events for well over 20 years. But this Wednesday, we want you to come out and celebrate the 20th anniversary of Jazzy Summer Nights in partnership with WEAA. Yes, we will be on hand for the kickoff of this major, major festival that will be happening all summer long. It's going to be down at South Point at Port Covington. Trust me, folks, when you go down to Port Covington, just follow the people. You won't be able to miss it. Take one of those 2,000 parking spaces and enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. And if you see a man running around with some shorts and just a bottle of water or something, that's LaRon Finney.
Or my partner Derek Chase. I want to give him a big shout. Want to give him a big shout out. Yeah. So yeah, we will be there. Chase is right next to me, man. So again, stronger together is my motto, man. And when we at that table, make it longer.
There it is. There it is. LaRon, thank you so
much. My
guy,
I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, and thank you so much for being so good for the culture. Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. I want to thank all of you for checking in and being a part of the conversation. I want to thank my dynamic production team, Ms. Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, my man Sean McBean, and, of course, Dre Day for making me sound so good. Up next is LaDawn Black. She's going to give you that great, cool jazz neo-soul for your evening for In the Groove, so stick around for that. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow for another exciting edition of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.